Welcome to the ISPNIC Hot Topics Podcast, brought to you by ISPNIC. Each episode will host a short interview with key opinion leaders in PICU or NICU and other fields of medicine. Keep listening to find out more about this episode's host, guest, and featured hot topic.
My name is Akash Deep. I'm a pediatric intensivist from King's College Hospital in London, and I'm the chair of scientific affairs for ISPNIC. I'll be the host for this episode, and during today's podcast, I'll be speaking to a world expert, Teresa Martis from Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, United States. And I'm going to talk to her about something which she's done a lot of work on, quality dashboard in continuous renal replacement therapy. Teresa, welcome, and thank you for agreeing to do this podcast with us.
Oh, I'm so honored, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Thank you, Teresa. I think let's start off by having your introduction and your professional journey so far, please.
Yeah, I started three decades ago in nursing, and my journey took me initially to the critical care area, where I was exposed for the first time some dialysis opportunities. And through that experience, really became really interested in the continuous dialysis therapies, and then had an incredible opportunity to develop the first pediatric dialysis program at our hospital at that time, and shifted my focus from critical care to pediatric dialysis, but got to bring the continuous therapies with me. So I really was able to bridge my two major interests. And then my journey has taken me on some detours and some wonderful opportunities. I went into research on the AKI CRT device opportunities, working with Dr. Goldstein, and then also went on to get my nurse practitioner and then become a provider. So shifting from the bedside to a provider, and have continued my career in AKI, CRT, all dialysis. And now I'm at Lurie Children's, where we are developing our first internal pediatric dialysis program.
That sounds wonderful, Teresa. We all know that we've done a lot of work on the quality markers, on the quality dashboards in CRRT, and you published a very nice manuscript a couple of years back on the quality indicators in CRRT. Would you mind just taking us through the methodology, the findings, and the implications for us as healthcare professionals who provide CRRT to these children?
Sure. It was a labor of love, and I started in quality really wanting to understand how we deliver care and how that impacts outcomes, because most of that time, the research is focused on patient outcomes. So really understanding what we do at the bedside and how that influences care. And that's where that project started from, was being able to understand of all these things that happen from the time you start a patient until the time you end a patient, how does what we do there change or influence the outcomes? And that started me on this quality improvement journey. And really, I have to say, I had two great mentors that really guided me as well. And looking at sort of how the American Heart Association did CPR quality metrics and focusing less on the outcome, but more on how we do things and how do we standardize, which I know is also a really big topic in this area. And so our methods were, how do we use quality improvement to guide change, to improve practices, and then ultimately, hopefully, improve outcomes? And we worked with sort of picking quality improvement measures that were in the literature at that time, but also picking one that was very specific to what we were challenging, which was fluid management at the bedside. And that became sort of our starting point for quality improvement. And then being able to, I think one of the things that we missed opportunities in quality improvement is the ability to visually send this data back to people who are doing all the hard work. And that's why we really worked hard on creating a dashboard that was interactive, that showed these metrics and measures to the people who were doing the work and getting their input back. And what we found was in our results was by showing people what we were doing and making it very visual, we got a lot of input and we got a lot of response back. also by measuring and merely measuring metrics, we were able to move the needle on many of them just by peer awareness. But specifically, I think the one that we really focused on was our fluid balance and understanding why patients weren't meeting fluid balancing and then creating a quality improvement process across that, which came from one, identifying and talking about it very specifically to all of the people taking care of that patient, to being able to have it documented somewhere to be able to measure it. So it started with, this is a great measure. What do we need to do to be able to see it? And then how do we move that needle? And moving the needle really came from the multidisciplinary round and everybody understanding what the goal was. And then understanding why we didn't achieve the goal has been sort of the next step of that. And then being able to share this with everyone and really talk about how other people are doing it has been just tremendous.
Thank you, Teresa. As I was expecting, it's a lot of hard work, isn't it? Making sure that you not only do this work and make, but also making sure the stakeholders are kept in the loop and make sure they get the feedback of what is going well and where actually things can go well if things are implemented in time. So thank you for that. And you know, the other thing which always kind of worries me when we talk about quality dashboards and standards is there is a lot of variation in practice. Right. We just finished our European survey, which we published in the JAMA network. And we had kind of asked only the CRRT leads just to avoid that variation in practice based on your experience. We said, let's just go to CRRT leads and see what they say. And the results are staggering. There is a variation in practice across each and every field of CRRT, whatever exists. So my question to you is, how do you then benchmark something where the standards are not there? What do you take as a standard against which you're going to measure a particular parameter?
Yeah, to comment on the lack of standardization, to even expand on that, what we found at our institution is that not only is there a lack of standardization among institutions, but even among units. How it was delivered in one unit versus the other unit was tremendously different. And so that's sort of where we start. I think the benchmarking part, where we sort of picked our benchmarks, is what was already in the literature, what was just reported. Specifically, a lot of the PPCRRT data registry from the early 2000s, that data just sort of gave us, okay, so this is where this group of people were at that time. Let's see if that's where we are and how do we go beyond that. But picking benchmarks really was a challenge because of that lack of standardization. And that's also why we started just looking at ourselves internally on some of these markers and not being much broader in looking at other institutions, because we didn't understand where we were and we knew we were different than other institutions. So it was a bit of a challenge, but it became all about our institution at that time.
Yeah, it makes sense. Absolutely. So, Teresa, just any guidance, any kind of advice you would give to a PICU who is wanting to start a new CRRT program in the unit?
That's a tough question. As I think about that, I think when people reach out and say, we really want to do quality improvement, one, I think it's important to understand what that means to them and why they're doing what they're doing. I think starting small is the best advice that I can give. You can't start with a 20 metric dashboard. It starts with one measure, one or two measures that really help you and your institution understand your program. So for example, I always talk about filter life because it is sort of this umbrella measure that can drive many KPIs, key performance indicators. It can drive your downtime and help you understand your downtime. It can help you understand your delays and starts, because filter life sort of has that overarching definition and can be influenced by multiple things. It could help you understand your anticoagulation protocol. So I always sort of suggest that filter life is that one that you can really use to drive multiple different KPIs. But I think the most important thing is you have to have a passion for it. And you have to start small. If you're going to dive into the deep end of the pool, you'll be wading in the water quite deeply. It's often better to start in the shallow end and then work your way up and find out what your program's doing with just one measure.
I kind of agree with you more, Teresa. Thank you. Finally, on something on education and training of healthcare professionals, Teresa, as you know, that's something which is very important. And both of us were a part of the first ever pediatric acute disease quality initiative at KEY. And you were in group 6, which focused on education and advocacy. So my first part of the question is, can you please summarize your group's recommendations? And second, is there any guidance which you would use on the education and training of healthcare professionals? How frequently, how intense, should there be a curriculum in the delivery of CRRT to critically sick children?
Yeah, absolutely. To take on that first part of the question, being in group 6, which all of the groups were well represented, it was highlighted to us that what works in one place can't always work in a different institution or a different country. But what we found in our ultimate recommendations is that it really starts at the center with the patient and the family. If we can gain education and knowledge from them and they can from us, it will disperse appropriately. For example, a patient who has an AKI episode that we inform on the inpatient side and give them all of the information, when they go for follow-up to other disciplines, they can share that with them. And so that information then gets disseminated to primary care people, it gets disseminated to others. So that was one of our first recommendations, is that we really have to start with patients and families as far as education and advocacy. One of our other recommendations is that we can't preach to people who already know about AKI. So we really have to go into the med schools. We have to go into the nursing schools. We have to go into the community and really start teaching people and providing information about what is AKI, what is the follow-up, what are the implications of AKI, and using that information to be able to continue to disseminate, where our big recommendations from patients, the education and advocacy group.
Thank you, Teresa. I think all of us agree exactly what you say, that education and training needs to begin from the grassroots. So with this, I thank you, Teresa, for your time. You very elegantly convinced the audience, and I'm sure you convinced me for sure, that measuring quality in running a CRRT program is essential. What works for one unit might not work for the other, and that education is an ongoing process and is vital to the success of any CRRT program. So thank you very much, and we look forward to further collaborations with you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much for this great opportunity. It was great chatting with you today. Thank you.